All right, hey everybody. So you can all come back to the room or, be present. All right, good. So what are we going to do today? We're going to do what I call the mentalizing the modes sequence. And this is kind of like a long drawn out inquiry to really understand our well, in a sense, understand our symptoms or our modes. Kind of the different ways that we present in life. So the first thing I'll start with is, so to be clear, I'll do like maybe 3 to 4 minutes of lecture, and then and don't really worry about comprehending all of it or retaining all of it. It'll all be reinforced in the actual guidance. But so let's just define some terms first. And then by the way, welcome. Thanks for coming. Good to see all of you here. Okay, great. So what does mentalization mean? Mentalization is kind of like it's a metacognitive function, but it's kind of it. I think it ultimately comes down to perspective taking. Can you kind of like step out and see your own processes? You see, aha, here I am doing this thing. Do you understand your own intentional stances? Can you understand, what you're even experiencing? Can you name? It's like, oh, I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling sadness. Can you, and then what's interesting is mentalization is imaginal. Can you imagine, aha, what is this person's like stance? What is their intentional stance? What do they want? What does it look like they're experiencing? And so that's what mentalization is. And then I'll just say, and then this is a theory of mine. This is probably somebody else has said this before, but one thing is like when we have a schema, like kind of an afflictive belief, when it's active and kind of hijacking the system, I think our mentalization skills naturally collapse. And then so we go from the ability to have kind of more of an open, softer awareness where kind of we can take everything in a more peripheral, open way to like this, no, it's this way, this way, it's this way. So what's kind of interesting is that I think part of this healing process always partially hinges on seeing how we're like narrowly shrunken down into a narrow view, acknowledging that sweetly, tolerantly, and then just stepping out and saying, aha, this is just this one view. This is just this one way of coming at life. There's a broader perspective as well. So that's what mentalization is. Also, one reason why I think it's important. I'll just add that your ability to mentalize, and there's a rating scale for it, it's called the reflective function scale, is associated with security of attachment. The more secure your attachment, the higher your mentalization ability. So it's of some real relevance. And yeah, moving on. Okay, mode. What is a mode? So we'll be spending the next two classes in the 8-week class on the modes. And then modes are just maybe a fancy way of describing basically behaviors or even problematic symptoms. And this is drawing from, I'm drawing the word from Jeffrey Young's schema therapy. And let's see what else. And like the way he defines it is like a mood plus a behavior. So it's like, and then the way I like to think about it is like, if you believe this, then you're kind of forced to act out this particular way. And it can be like, oh, this necessary, I have to do this, or just consequentially, like you just end up doing this thing, or oh, because of this belief, I have to do this thing. But don't worry about catching that. That's a little abstract. Okay. Okay, more about like going into the content of the modes. So for our purposes today, let's just narrow the way that we think about the modes or the different manifestations of the modes is like basically an avoidance mode. Like, so you can, due to your schema, and they're based on your schemas more or less. This is not perfect, but they're based on your schemas. So, like, based on, for example, let's just say you have a subjugation schema, like, oh, I need to like take basically abuse from others. I need to like, in order to not be abandoned, I have to take poor treatment from others. So do you go along with that? Like, yeah, okay, that's how it is. And then you act in accordance, and that would be a surrender mode. So you're surrendering to the schema. Then there's an avoidance mode. So that would be like you avoid social contact because you're like, oh, I'll end up subjugating myself and I don't want to do that. So you just avoid it. Or you also avoid engaging with it, thinking about it. So what do? You drink alcohol, you watch Netflix endlessly, et cetera, et cetera. Or there can be like a overcompensation mode. And that's where you're like, oh, you know, I got this subjugation scheme. I always feel like I need to subjugate myself to others. So you know what? I'm really going to build up my status. I'm going to become fantastic. I'm going to do a bunch of self-help work. I'm going to make a lot of money so that I'll raise my status such that I don't have to subjugate myself to others. And now there's more to these modes and there's other types of modes, but specifically these are like what they call the three coping sets of coping modes. And I think that they're most universally useful. A few more things about how we're going to run this meditation. When I kind of you're all going to be doing this silently, and so when I cue you and ask you for something, I want you to answer it as if you were like a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old. I don't want your healthy adult kind of mentalization skills to come in. I want you to just be like kind of really raw and emotional and naive. That's the way to really kind of come into seeing the emotional coherence of these schemas and modes. Also, we're going to take an entirely pro-symptom position. We are not resisting any of our beliefs, no matter how destructive or neurotic they are. We're going to pretend like they all make perfect sense. It's like, of course I need to subjugate myself. I learned this. And then we're going to investigate our world through that, bringing it up into consciousness. And then towards the end, the last like 10 minutes of the meditation, we'll go about disconfirming the schemas and the modes by getting emotionally corrective experiences. But it helps to first come in naively and totally believe it like a total dummy. I think that's it. All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. Are there any like questions coming up by chance? Anybody with anything pressing?
I'm just wondering, because I've done Chin Zen Yong's meditation work. So I usually meditate with my eyes kind of open. Is that okay if I do that?
That'll be fine.
Because I find it's really effective for integrating into everyday life.
Yeah. No, totally it is. A lot of what we'll be doing is visualization work. And then I generally find I can visualize much better eyes closed. However, it's totally fine. And then, in my opinion, more like wisdom oriented meditation is better with eyes open. But yeah, however it works for you. Uh-huh. Any other questions or comments before we start? All righty, good enough. Let's get going then. So, straightening up, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. And then starting to settle in. And you know what? Why don't we do a little bit of chair yoga? This is really, really helpful. So let's inhale the arms up like so. Now retain the breath and bring the arms out to the side like so. Retaining the breath. And now start exhaling, and you're going to start bringing the hands towards one another, and you're coordinating it with the exhale. Okay, good. Now inhale the arms up again. Retain the breath, bring the arms out to the side. Now start exhaling, and then you're bending the arms such that the hands start moving towards one another and will meet in front of the sternum, coordinating with the exhale. That's right. Now one more time. Retain the breath, bring the arms out to the side. Exhale, the hands fold towards one another. Okay, good. Now inhale the arms up again. Now pivot over to your right side, your right side. Bring the arms down and look over your right shoulder, retaining the breath. And start exhaling and coordinate the exhale with the turning back towards facing the front. Okay, good. Now inhale the arms up again. Pivot over to your left side, looking over your left shoulder. Final twist, retaining the breath. Exhale, coming back to center. Okay, good. Now we'll start with a brief body scan. So feeling the feet, legs, and hips. And we're not going to try or effort to relax whatsoever. We're just going to notice the body. And then if relaxation happens, then it happens. And now feel and notice the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now notice how it's just taking care of itself. The rising and falling is happening on its own. Okay, good. Now notice the chest expand and contract. And just bring this quality of very light, curious observation. And now feeling the shoulders and upper back. And now feeling the arms and the hands. And now the head, neck, and face. And now take a deep, deep breath and feel the whole body all at once. And now exhale, feeling the whole body exhale all at once. Okay, good. And now I'm going to spend about maybe 45 seconds noticing emotions in the body. This will help us have a more embodied and emotional experience, which is what we want. A lot of people notice emotions in the chest, the heart, the shoulders, the neck, the throat, the jaw, the face, the head, etc. Go ahead and notice emotions arising right now. Okay, good. All right, so now we'll get into our inquiry. Now, remember that you want to take the pro-symptom position. So like, believe your schema, believe your mode, see how it's necessary. And then again, keep answering the questions as if you were a child, very naively. So, what are the symptoms that keep coming up in your life? It might be a thing that you're driven to do, or it might just be a consequence of maybe some of your habit patterns or beliefs. I'll ask the question again. What are the symptoms or modes, behaviors that come up in your life? And likely there's some suffering or difficulty associated with that. You might feel somewhat urgently driven to do these things, or again, they just might be a consequence. And now, what are the beliefs that underlie this? They might be the schemas. So what are these beliefs about yourself or the world or how one must act in the world that underlie and make these symptoms necessary? And now have this attitude of openness and curiosity about your mind and about these symptoms and beliefs. This is actually quite interesting. And now this question may or may not be relevant, but is there an even greater suffering which you are avoiding by engaging in this way of by producing this symptom, by engaging in this mode. Another way to ask this question is, what are the benefits? We need to assume that there's some benefit. So how is this, let's say, mode of behavior or symptom beneficial to you? And this is not asked in an ironic way. Really see the benefit. Now ask yourself again, what compels this behavior, this symptom, this way of being? What's the belief that underlies this symptom production? That's right, keep investigating. And now also look and notice how there's likely been like a long a history of the same behavior coming up over and over throughout your life. And just appreciate that with curiosity and openness. Okay. And now, from this place of unquestioning, childlike belief of this underlying schema or this underlying belief, I believe what about myself, or that I am what? So what do you think about yourself? And also this is just the emotional mind. So there's often a kind of there's something unsophisticated about the answers that come up. That's what you want. So answer like a child. I believe what about myself when I'm fully naively believing the schema? And when I'm completely and naively believing the schema, I know what about the world or about others. Others are such and such. The world is so and so. So what do you believe about the world or others? Keep going, keep investigating. And so again, I go over both of these. So when I'm fully believing the schema, I believe what about myself and what about the world? And also see how those two make sense. There's a certain logic to it. Like, oh yeah, of course I view it this way. This makes perfect sense from a certain perspective. And now, notice how believing this about myself, believing this about the world, I must do what? Or maybe even I just find myself consequentially doing what? And likely this will relate back to the original symptom or mode. And now, strangely at other times, I find that I end up doing this other thing. What is that? And at other times, I end up doing this other thing. I behave in this other way. And all these different ways that you behave might seem very contradictory. That's totally normal if that's the case. And now notice how the underlying belief makes the symptom or the mode or the behavior necessary or a natural consequence. Once again, notice the coherence, the conformity. And now, see if you can find memories from childhood or from early adulthood or teenage years that taught you these lessons about yourself, the world, and how you must behave. Keep investigating this. And also notice once again, learning these lessons at that time in your life was actually responsive and adaptive. It's important to see that. Your learning, in a sense, even these toxic lessons was a sign of your actual health. You adapted. And it might be the case that these learnings are maladaptive at this point, but that's another matter. Okay, now just see all of this clearly. And also, it's healthy to have a sense of empathy towards yourself. You can see how that these learning these lessons was not pleasant. And also appreciate the negative impacts that learning these, let's call them toxic lessons, have had on your life. And we're just seeing that plainly with equanimity, just as things are. Okay, so now we're going to move on to a series of inquiries that are pretty much similar. We'll kind of cover a lot of the same ground, but we'll just focus on the mode, the behavior, the symptom a little bit more. So go back to this original symptom, or you may have discovered a different symptom or mode in the process of the meditation that you want to work on. And now name it. And like parts language can be helpful here. Like, oh, this is my distracted mode. This is my self-soothing mode. This is my isolation mode. This is my workaholic mode. Or, you know, subjugated mode. So go ahead and name it. And just, it doesn't matter how you name it. Name it in such a way that's memorable for yourself. And now, kind of bring up the mode. And then let this kind of cascade of body tensions, emotions, and image thoughts, and also auditory thoughts, so internal talk, arise. And just study it with interest. Also notice how there's this particular signature of the mode. It's like a certain, let's say, mental state or bodily state that arises very predictably when you're in this mode. And just see that now. And now once again, see, look for the underlying beliefs. We're covering a lot of the same ground here. There's just repetition here. So see the underlying beliefs that make this mode necessary. And again, this is repetition, but what were the unmet needs in childhood or adolescence or earlier adulthood that brought about this negative learning? that now kind of forces this mode or this symptom production. And again, see how this makes sense. There's something about this that's like intelligent. There's just stimulus and response. Also, see how anybody else would respond just the same way. And also, none of this is unique to you. And again, this is repetition from the earlier, but contemplate the benefits of this mode or of this symptom sincerely and fair-mindedly. Behaving in this way makes a lot of sense. It's beneficial in some ways. And now keep investigating with this quality of openness and curiosity. Now let's just study the mode. And now it's very important to keep this kind of non-judgmental attitude, but let's study the effects that this mode has on your work life, social life, intra, like interpersonal life, like within yourself, and your explorations. I'll ask you the same question another three times. So just pick one of those. What are the effects of getting into these modes? What kind of effects does it have on your work life, social life, internal life, and the effects it has on your explorations? Just pick one of those. So again, what are the impacts on your work life, social life, internal life, or explorations? See all of this clearly and have this quality of curiosity and openness. Good. And now we're going to move into the emotionally corrective experience. So one more time, what are the beliefs about self and other that underlie this mode or symptom? And now, float back to childhood, or could be adolescence or earlier adulthood, and find a particularly exemplar memory of when this learning was reinforced. This does not have to be an actual memory. It can be a composite memory. So bring up a scene where this same problematic learning about self and world was reinforced. Where are you? What is this like? How do you feel? And also, once again, see how this is just learning. It's not your fault. Anybody would have taken the same learning or would have had the same learning experience from this event. And now have the imaginal parents come into the scene. You can either stay there in the scene or they can remove you from the scene. And the first thing that you notice is how safe you are. You're totally safe, totally protected. Also, these imaginal parents are completely loyal to you. They see it from your perspective. And they really get it. Notice how they're so attentive. They know exactly what's happening for you. They're so responsive and receptive. They might lean in, tilt the head, nod the head. You can see how your emotions are mirrored back to you on their faces. They really get it. They also know this is not your fault. They're entirely clear about that. Also, they move to console you. They might put their hand over your shoulder or hold your hand. Develop the scene in such a way to get your needs met and to make this personally compelling to you. That's right. And also they know that you're going to move through this. It's just going to take a little bit of work and they're going to be with you all along the way. And this is very obvious to you in the scene. You're never going to have to experience this negative thing ever again. You're with these imaginal parents now. This negative event is in the past, but it still might still be upsetting, and that's okay. Keep developing the scene. That's right. Keep going. And now, go back to this original scene with your imaginal parents. Except for now, you're very strong and supported. And you have these parents that are supporting you unconditionally. They're very confident and competent. And now take a corrective action. Maybe the parents stand up for you, or maybe you stand up for yourself, or maybe you tell this other person how they did you wrong and this is not right. The other person you might have them acknowledge this, see this. Or you might just have the scene never happen, but go ahead and re-script it such that it ends a different way. In a way that disconfirms this earlier negative emotional learning. Go ahead and develop that now. And now notice how, again, you're in a place of power. You're in a place of agency, and you're totally supported. And this other person or this old situation that taught you this negative belief has no power over you. And everybody else sees this as well. And shape the scene now in such a way to get your needs met perfectly. That's right, keep going. That's right. And now, and again, now do modify the scene as you see fit, but it might now make sense to start taking leave. So start drawing away from this old scene. You're with the imaginal parents. They're extremely supportive of you. So loyal. They're also proud of you. You're doing a lot of good work here, and they see that very clearly. And you can see this old scene kind of in the distance. It has no power over you. It's like, yeah, there's still some information that you received from that, but you see it from a much broader, more contextualized view. And now you might now have some kind of meaning-making insights here. You might want to discuss them with the imaginal parents. Now, this might seem a bit weird, but go back to the scene and go back to this negative emotional learning and try to bring it up. But then, of course, reflect on how you've had it disconfirmed, how you were supported in such a way that it's now not really a problem. It might be the case that it doesn't really make as much sense anymore. And now reinforce the positive experiences, these positive corrective experiences you've had with the parents and otherwise. Really feel into that. What do your imaginal parents tell you now to help you see this and to reinforce the positive? And now also, they're so proud of you. You've done good work here. Also, necessarily, you have the insight, aha, I have greater agency and mastery in my life. I know how to work through all these beliefs. And now feel into that. Okay, good. We'll go ahead and end it there. So dissolve the scene. Place your attention on the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now open the eyes halfway and keep following the abdomen, rise and fall. And now let that go and open up the eyes entirely. Okay. I'm afraid that I kind of ran the meditation a little bit longer, so we don't really have much time, but we have like 1 minute. Is there like a comment or a question that anyone might have?
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll just put it flat out there. So like, I'm dating someone now. And so when I'm doing these meditations, I'm finding it much harder to concentrate because I'm going back into the past and then I'm kind of flash forwarding to the future of how it would affect my current, like how I would address different in the future with this person.
And so I don't think that's a problem.
My attachment style is kind of like how I'm working on an attachment style from the past and it's changing it in the future. And I'm kind of like seeing both simultaneously. So it's like really distracting because my mind keeps going like this between the past and the future.
Yeah. In a certain sense, I would view this as, well, and I don't know, but it's just like the content is different, but I think the emotional learning piece, I think you're looking at the same thing. So in a certain sense, I don't even think this is like, this might not even be a distraction. Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, because I'm concerned because I have a preoccupied attachment style most of the time. Right. So I'm hoping that I'm not like bringing a new preoccupied attachment style into this new thing.
Well, in a certain sense, you may be, but then also you just want to see all of that present. Like you say, look at me here. I am. I'm worried about the mental states of others. And if you see that, you're doing the meditation.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because like, and see, it's like, There's this like the scheme is like this model for the world. And then we just fill in the details. And the content is actually, from a certain view, unimportant. We just fill in the details, fill in the content.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Great. Okay. Hey, see y'all in a week. And then we gotta end it, I'm afraid. Okay, see y'all in a week. Ciao.